Your Excellencies, distinguished delegates, dear participants, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the 22nd session of the Intergovernmental Working Group on the Right to Development, the only right explicitly mentioned in the High Commissioner's mandate. I think the right's comprehensive understanding of development, the recognition that the human is the central subject of development, underpins our understanding of this overall right. The right to development cannot be fulfilled without effective international cooperation and multilateralism, without good governance at the national, regional, and local levels, as well as globally. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and the climate crisis continue to haunt us, and I think in many ways constitute daunting obstacles to the realization of the right to development, and are a stark reminder of our governance failures and of the need to overcome overridingly national interests in favor of global public goods. A few weeks ago during the social forum, I had the privilege to moderate a roundtable discussion on lessons learned from the fight against COVID-19. Participants at the event were resounding in their call for the rebuilding of trust and the strengthening of multilateralism, for countries and people to come together in support of each other and especially of those in need, for the responses to the pandemic to be guided by human rights principles and obligations. And these have been our core messages since the outbreak, particularly of COVID-19. The pandemic has forced us to face sometimes inconvenient truths, that we are only as strong as the weakest among us, that no communities and no countries can be safe on their own, and that again and again, those most disadvantaged bear the brunt of the impacts, whether economic, social, or health related. And we must question existing economic models as we recommit to tackling inequalities and make long-term structural changes. We also need to address inequality within and between nations, and it's all in all of its manifestations through equitable and fair distributions of resources and of benefits. Our responses to this crisis at all levels must be grounded in human rights and in the right to development. This is very much the spirit of the UN Declaration on the Right to Development, which marks its 35th anniversary this year. We are at a critical point for reflection and above all for action. Although there are many challenges ahead, I remain optimistic. We have seen extraordinary achievement as people, communities, and countries have indeed come together at many junctures during this past year and a half in response to the pandemic. The development of multiple effective vaccines, the implementation of robust social protection schemes around the world, and many examples that we have registered of life-saving solidarity at local and national levels. Our office has endeavored to ensure that these responses remained anchored in human rights so that no one is left behind and we can make good on our promise. We have provided technical guidance to the UN system for a human rights-based approach to socioeconomic impact assessments and responses to the pandemic, aiming always to embed human rights at the heart of recovery plans. We have been outspoken in voicing our commitment to global equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines, diagnostics, therapeutics. Of course, more can and must be done. At the recently concluded 26th Conference of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, parties reaffirmed their commitment to respecting, promoting, and taking into consideration the human rights obligations, including the right to development, when taking climate action. They finalized the rules for implementation of the Paris Agreement and committed to human rights, environmental and social safeguards, as well as an independent grievance process while doing so. However, countries fell far short of stepping up commitments to finance climate action, to reducing emissions, and to addressing loss and damage to levels necessary to prevent, minimize, and remediate the worst human rights impacts of climate change now and in the future. The climate crisis and the pandemic, as I mentioned, are similar in many aspects, not least in their transboundary nature, and effective responses have to be global in scope. The most affected must be empowered partners in our decision-making moving forward. Their participation is non-negotiable. International cooperation is therefore needed to accelerate this building of capacity in order that we become stronger and more equal partners. Of course, low-income countries and those in fragile contexts are under record debts and face ever-shrinking fiscal space. They need support in order to be able to embrace robust, transparent, and accountable development finance. And they need technology transfer, including for COVID-19 vaccines production or for climate adaptation. Dear participants, your excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to confirm our commitment to supporting the working group and to continue our efforts for effective support to all other mechanisms dealing with the right to development, including the expert mechanism, the special rapporteur on the right to development, and other special procedure mandate holders. I wish to call on member states to help us strengthen our capacity in support of this right to development related work. As this working group session continues the deliberation on the proposed draft convention, I encourage all member states to actively engage in the discussions in order that we can uphold the achievement of the outcomes we have jointly targeted. Thank you very much, and I wish you good deliberations.